Saturday Magazine. Have a listen to this. If you have a child who is currently learning to play the violin, then you may well dream of the day in your own head that the day when your young prodigy will be able to tackle Rimsky-Korsakov's Bumblebee just like that. And the reality, let's face it, is more likely to be more mundane and probably noisier and more down to earth. But a new book has been published which sets out, puts the emphasis on the fun in learning to play the violin. Michaela's Music House tells the story of a four-year-old girl and her journey from her first lesson to her first concert. And I'm delighted to say the author, Gwendolyn Mason, joins me now. Thank you very much. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And I know you came up from Dublin today on the train and in the snowy conditions, we really appreciate it. The journey itself was okay?
No problem at all.
Good stuff. Glad you're here. So what can you tell? I mean, parents everywhere will know that when your child is starting to learn the violin, it is a difficult process. It's hard to get the right sounds. It's hard to get the right sounds that, you know, for the parents to feel encouraged. And it's also hard to get the right sounds where the child feels, I'm making progress here. So what does Michaela's Music House do for them?
Well, I think that the primary difference with this book to anything that came before is the idea of appealing to a child's imagination and fantasy. I think it's important to give visual images and to underline technical difficulties with storytelling, also ones that children, young and old, can themselves contribute to give them a sort of a path upon which to learn. Not only that, music is very much about storytelling. You can play music, but it's even more fun to actually make music. So if it's something that you share with a student from a very early beginning, the idea of, you know, using anything, any sort of possibilities, tools to create that, it tends to be more fun and it actually leads to a speedier progress.
And some of the best teachers in anything are storytellers.
Absolutely.
Because they don't just give you the facts, they tell you a story in such a way that what the message they're trying to get through sticks with you.
Absolutely.
Maybe for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's also a question of individualising things. It's important for me anyway with students that what I teach them, they make their own. So that they can actually repeat what they've learned either by performing or by telling, but in their own way, in their own words.
And in this book, Michaela's Music House, we meet people like the lollipop lady, the pilot, the fat fairy. And these characters are all used to illustrate particular points of what you should do when you're playing the violin. Give me an example of one of the ways that you teach a child a particularly difficult thing that they find.
Okay. Well, for instance, a very simple one would be the use of the patience fairy, which is less a tool for actually practicing and more sort of a mental stimulus, particularly for young children. In fact, at any age when you begin playing a musical instrument, you'll find that physically you need far more strength than you might have thought.
And wee fingers can get sore even pushing down the strings.
They can get sore, but mainly what gets sore is the biceps and the back, because, you know, you're standing up, you're holding the instrument. It's the same with every string instrument. You need a certain physical fitness, and the best way to build that up is just to practice. So the patience period comes in to support. It's, again, as I say, it's a mental image to support arms, and also, of course, as an impetus to go on, you know, biting the bullet and practicing those extra 5 minutes to keep going. The other.
I love this. I think everybody could do with the patience fairy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm the first. I'm the first who'd need it at the best of times. But another one is the fat fairy, which is it's amazing how evocative images have such a quick and deep impact on the imagination of anyone. If a student is producing a weak, thin sound, very often there is no point in that very moment to say, you know, relax or use more weight or. Even showing the sound mightn't be effective because each person has different senses developed at different levels. So for one person, if, you know, they're very stimulated by what they hear, and I, for instance, would show them how it could sound, that might work for them.
Uh-huh.
But in the case of somebody who doesn't have that yet, what I found works is to pretend that there's a fat fairy that's been placed in the middle of the bow and is pushing the bow down onto the string with all their weight.
Uh-huh.
And just the idea...
You have a beautiful illustration of it. The fairy has plonked herself down on the bow and the bow is kind of, you know, splayed out as a wee bit. It certainly will appeal to kids. The book will definitely appeal to kids. Maybe more to girls than boys, or does it work both ways?
The idea was for it to work both ways. I mean, there's in the book there are photographs of my students, 19 in total, and they're both boys and girls. The youngest is 3, the eldest is 11.
Uh-huh.
And the idea of involving my own students was to show that violin playing is, on the one hand, in fact, making music is a universal thing, but it's also a very individual thing. So depending on what the shape of your hand is, things, although I describe it in detail, might still end up looking different in practice.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I found that the book, it certainly works for both genders, and it actually works for any age and for any instrument.
Is this something you would have liked to have had when you were learning the violin? Did you have an inspirational teacher at
I've
a young
been
age?
Very fortunate. I've had wonderful teachers. Truly wonderful teachers from a very young age.
Because you should say your career is as a violinist predominantly.
Yes, that's right. I'm a concert violinist, and I've been very fortunate in that way that my teachers have always supported me in that sense. And indeed, I didn't have that kind of a method. I would have appreciated, I suppose, as a child to have, I wouldn't say formulas, but to have a structure to follow, because as a young person, it's very difficult to imagine what awaits you at the end of a road of learning,
uh-huh.
particularly with a string instrument, unlike with a piano where you can immediately hear a sound when you press a key.
Yeah. Well, you see, I did piano. I could play an instrument where you sat down and played it. I could play an instrument where you had to blow it and finger the notes. This idea of having to stand with your back straight and your neck cocked to one side and your fingers and leave a gap there and make sure the fingers are in a straight line and then hold this thing in the other
yeah.
hand and make sure that your thumb is in the right place under your other fingers and now you have to make music was like, oh, it was like chiropractic hell. And I didn't last very long on it, I have to say, but I love this idea. It's just like, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. The child, my child is doing it, I have to say now, and I must try a bit of this on him and see if there isn't a practice fairy. That's the only thing. There's a patience fairy, but I think we could need a kind of a practice fairy hovering in the background saying...
You could try and maybe become the practice fairy yourself, you know.
Be the practice fairy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's advice for parents all over the place. I'm sure you'd be taking this to heart. We're going to finish, Gwendolyn, with a wee bit of music, which is yourself putting all these techniques and things that you've learned over the years from your various teachers. And this, tell me about this piece of music.
It's an encore piece written by Diniku, who was a very well-known violinist himself originally as a tune, and then arranged by a very well-known violinist called Yasha Heifetz. It's called Horus Staccato.
Well, listen, really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming
Thank
up on the train
you.
And talking to us. The book is called Michaela's Music House, The Magic of the Violin by Gwendolyn Mason, available in all good bookshops. And there's a website as well, which is michaelasmusichouse.com, www.michaelasmusichouse.com. I'm sure there'll be lots of people coming to terms and meeting the practice, the patience fairy over the coming week. Gwendolyn, thanks for your time. This is the Horus Staccato. Thank you.